We'll turn now to Luke chapter 22. Verses 63 to 65, on page 883 in the Pew Bible, Luke chapter 22, verses 63 to 65. This is the word of the Lord. Now the men who were holding Jesus in custody were mocking him as they beat him. They also blindfolded him and kept asking him, "Prophesy, who is it that struck you?" And they said many other things against him, blaspheming him. This is the word of the Lord. This is your hour and the power of darkness. Jesus has been betrayed by one friend and denied by another. Now he is mocked and beaten by his enemies. Verse 63, we read, "Now the men who were holding Jesus in custody were mocking him as they beat him." This is what Jesus said would happen. Luke chapter 9, verse 21. "The Son of Man must suffer many things." Luke chapter 18, verse 32. "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the Gentiles, will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. And now it has come to pass." Now Jesus is in custody, but he is not yet in the custody of the Roman authorities. He is here in the custody of the Jewish authorities. In verse 52, he spoke to the chief priests and officers of the temple and elders who had come out against him. And there he said, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs? When I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay hands on me." They could have arrested him in the temple because they had charge over the temple, because they kept guard of the temple. Jesus is here in the custody of the priests of the temple, for it belonged to the priests and the Levites to guard the temple. This service was given to them by the Lord. We read of it in the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 3, verse 5. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Bring the tribe of Levi near, and set them before Aaron the priest, that they may minister to him. They shall keep guard over him, and over the whole congregation before the tent of meeting, as they minister at the tabernacle." The priests and the Levites were to guard the tabernacle. They were to guard the temple. They were to guard the house of the Lord. They were to guard its holiness. They were to keep from it anything that might defile it. And so they even bore weapons in defense of it. Numbers chapter 3, verse 10. If any outsider comes near, he shall be put to death. The priests and the Levites, they bore weapons in the service of the temple to guard it from defilement. And we see them bearing weapons not only in service of the temple, but even in the service of the king. In 2 Chronicles chapter 23, which concerns the reign of Joash, king of Judah. When Joash is made king, it is the priests and Levites who work to restore him to the throne. 2 Chronicles chapter 23, verse 6. Let no one enter the house of the Lord except the priests and the ministering Levites. They may enter, for they are holy, but all the people shall keep the charge of the Lord. The Levites shall surround the king, each with his weapons in his hand. And whoever enters the house shall be put to death. Be with the king when he comes in and when he goes out. In 2 Chronicles chapter 23, the Levites and the priests, they guard the holiness of the temple. They guard the holiness of God's house. But they do not only guard the temple. They also use their weapons in service of the true king of Israel. But in Luke chapter 22, it is not so. For in Jesus, the true and final King of Israel has come. The priests and the Levites do not use their weapons in aid of him. Instead, they lift their weapons against him. And now they are guarding. And in guarding him, they were guarding the true temple. But in mocking him, in beating him, they defiled the true temple. In the arrest of Jesus, and his being mocked, his being beaten, we see the failure of the priesthood. It is the failure of the priesthood to keep the charge of the Lord. Was their failure to keep his temple holy? They treat Jesus as an outsider, though he is in fact the Lord of the temple. They treat him as unclean, though he was the only one who was truly clean. They treat him as deserving of death, though he was the Lord of life. But this is why he came to Jerusalem, to bear the sins of his people. And so he must be treated as a sinner. So he was treated as a sinner. The holy for the unholy. The clean for the unclean. The just for the unjust, righteous for the wicked, the sinless for sinners. In our passage, we see the failure of the priesthood. But in seeing the failure of one priesthood, we see the establishment of another, the priesthood of Christ, the priesthood of our Savior. And in him we find not only our great high priest, in him we also find our great and final prophet. Verse 64, they also blindfolded him and kept asking him, "Prophesy, who is it that struck you?" Now again, he is not in the custody of the Romans. He is in the custody of the priests. And the priests would know the scriptures because they had been called by God to teach the scriptures. And so we may understand that they're mocking him in verse 64 is not merely a game they made up for fun at his expense. Their mocking has a context, and that context is the Old Testament, specifically the book of Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, Moses explains to the people that one day, the Lord would raise up for them a prophet like him. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen. As Moses was the great prophet, of the old covenant. So Israel awaited a greater Moses. Israel awaited a greater prophet. Israel awaited the great prophet of the new covenant. Those guarding Jesus would have known this expectation, for it was their expectation. They were looking for that prophet. Now he is here. Now that prophet is in their midst. What were they to do? Listen to him. They did not listen to him. Instead, they mocked him. They blindfolded him and beat him. If you are the great prophet, prophesy. If you are the great prophet, who is it that struck you? Though he is the fulfillment of God's word, though he is the fullness of God's word, though they were to listen to him, they treated him instead as a false prophet, as one condemned to die. And though they mock him in their questioning of him, their question is a good question. For in it we hear a deeper truth. Deeper truth than what they intended. For Jesus came not only to be struck by men, came to be struck by God. And so he did not reply to them. He was silent before them. But this does not mean he did not answer them. His silence was his answer. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. It was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. He was not only stricken by men, but stricken by God. It was not only man that struck him. It was also the Lord. So we find that Jesus is not only the high priest who makes sacrifice. He is also the one to be sacrificed. The hands of man raised against him are as nothing to the stroke that awaits him. The stroke of divine justice. The stroke of God's wrath as he pours out his judgment upon the Son for the salvation of his people. But whose Son is this? This one who comes as our prophet and king. This one who comes as our priest and sacrifice. Verse 65. And they said many other things against him, blaspheming him. Throughout Luke's gospel, Luke refers to Jesus as the Lord. And here he tells us that they blasphemed him. They blasphemed the Lord. This Jesus is not only the Son of Man, he is also the Son of God. He is not only man, he is also God. It was God himself who endured these things for us. It was God himself who was mocked. It was God himself who was beaten. It was God himself who was blasphemed. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8. None of the rulers of this age understood this. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. These temple guards were given to guard the holiness of the Lord's name. But here they blaspheme his name, as they blaspheme his Son. The one who blasphemes the name of the Lord he is to be put to death. But who here is put to death? Not those who blasphemed him. The one who was blasphemed. He came to be blasphemed, that he might forgive those who have blasphemed him. In the mocking and beating of Jesus, we see him for who he truly is. God incarnate, God in the flesh, God with us. These things did not merely happen to him. He set his face toward Jerusalem because it was his will that these things should happen to him. He came to save us, that we might be reconciled to him, that we might lay down our arms before him, that those who beat him might be embraced by him, that those who mocked him might sing praise to him, that those who blasphemed him might find his name sweet upon their lips. Do you doubt the grace of our Lord? Do you doubt his love for you? See him here. Mocked and beaten, blasphemed for you. See him bearing the hostility of sinners, that he might save sinners. See him bearing their reproach, that he might deliver us from reproach. See the strokes that wounded him, that you might be healed. See the wrath that crushed him, that you might live. Do you doubt his grace? Do you doubt his love? See here your Savior, and doubt no more. Amen. Let us pray.